And he said to him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so he said, boys, it's time for you to come out. It's time for you to go to work. And this is what I want you to do. I just want you to go out and I want you to have fun. I want you to go north, south, east, and west, and I want you to go out and enjoy life. They got all the animals. Come on, elephants, time. Come here, boy. Elephant just started coming down the line. Giraffe bowed his head down, went out the door. And he said, by the way, you little birds over there, there's seven of you guys, y'all come with me. And then lambs, y'all come with me. They walked outside. They built an altar. Took the lamb. Took the life. Offered the blood. Sweet savor all of a sudden started going up into the sky. It was an aroma like no other aroma. God smelled that aroma. He looked down at the heart and he saw the heart. And all of a sudden God said, that's it. That's it, guys. Never again. Never again will I destroy the world by water. Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky so that every time I see that rainbow in the sky, I will remember. I will remember that I'll never destroy the world. I'll remember you. I'll remember the covenant. And I'll never do it again. God says, it's my covenant. I establish it and I'm the one that's going to stand behind it. And God put the rainbow in the sky. Because you see, there had never been rain. So there could never be a rainbow. But after sin, after new beginning, after judgment, God painted a rainbow. And from above He looks down and sees the whole. From beneath we look up and see. And God says, I remember. Noah got so excited, he and his boys, they took run off running. They got outside of the ark, and all of a sudden they got outside the ark and said, what are we going to do now? And old Papa Noah said, this is what I'm going to do, boys. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to throw some seed in the ground. And I'm going to plant some grapes. Time elapsed. All of a sudden, the grapes started coming up like crazy. I'm talking about men all over the place. Oh, Noah, what'd he do? He took some grape and he mashed them up and did a little fermenting. Noah got a hold to him some juice. It had some stuff in it. Y'all know what Noah did? He turned it up. I'm just telling you, it's Genesis chapter 9. Old Noah turned it up. Noah went inside of his tent. Sometimes the stuff makes people lose control. Noah lost control. Scripture says he was in his tent without any clothes on. One of his boys came in and disrespected his father. Other two boys came in and walked backward and clothed the father up, showed respect to the father. Next morning when Noah's head was clear, he said, son, I know what you did. Cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. God said, Shem be blessed. Japheth, may your borders be expanded. Boys, it's time now to go on with life. When I think about the blessing of God, God gave these individuals purpose. There was no doubt in their mind what Shem, Ham, and Japheth was to do in life. They had a purpose. They had a meaning. And now they were to go out and replenish the earth. It was no doubt in their mind what they were to do. And there's no doubt in our mind the blessing of God as we look at the rainbow and the covenant that He so establishes with us. No doubt that God's blessing falls with us. But I want you to know, folks, there's no doubt in our minds, sometimes you and I there is a word in the vernacular, I'm going to withhold that word and just say we mess up. Have you ever messed up? Yeah. Sometimes we mess up. And when we mess up, there's consequences. Even for generations sometimes. But I want you to know that God's love. So the Bible didn't hold anything back. So when you start talking about real life, if you ever mess up in life, you go back to, by the way, do y'all realize that we all came from the same family? Do y'all know who our papa is? Papa, 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 papa. Grandpapa, papa, papa, papa. I don't know how far it goes back. But y'all know who papa is? Papa Noah. Every one of us came from Papa Noah. It all goes back there. Because you see, that was a new beginning. And even after a new beginning, sometimes you mess up in life. But I want you to know, God didn't start all over. He took these guys right where they were, and He loved them straight on into the kingdom. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat to know? I'm glad to know that when I messed up, big time. But I'm glad that God didn't put me on the shelf like a jar of green beans and just leave me there. No, God took that little jar lid off and all of a sudden He put His thumb underneath the side and heard something go. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all ever done beans? Isn't it neat? Have you ever, Mama canned green beans? She heats them up, and then during the night you'll hear something go. And then sometime you hear something go. I mean, I love it. I love it when those green beans are sizzling. Now, if y'all hadn't done that, y'all missed it. I mean, there's some parts of life that you need to experience. But when it seals down, then you got to pop that lid. God will pop your lid. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to use you because you are valuable. You're extremely valuable. Now, after He did this, I want us to go back, though, and see this area of life. There was a rainbow. So we're going to talk about covenants. And I'm going to take you on a fast journey. And inside of this journey, I want you to just kind of think through things. Now, one of these days, in the next couple of weeks, this is one thing I'm going to start doing. How many of y'all got cell phones that got text message on it? Okay? Yeah, y'all do? Okay. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to set it up where during the service, you can text a question, and Brother Larry back there will have my wife's phone or a phone back there. He'll receive that question, and we're going to throw it up on the screen. Okay? Only three each service for that service, okay? Only three questions. And then I'm going to ask Brother Tony to answer it. Okay. Okay. So I want you to get ready now because we're going to use a little bit of technology inside of this thing too. Because sometimes you guys are out there saying, man, I wonder what in the world does the covenant mean? Or what in the world does this mean? And therefore you're going to sit there and then by the time, if you don't write it down at the end of the service, you already forgot it. Okay, so therefore we're going to do that. But by the way, when we do that, we're not going to be texting our sweethearts, okay? All right. But anyhow, we're going to be texting God's time. We'll be on God's time, okay? All right, so what are we going to be doing on that? So get ready now. We're going to start involving you into the worship service, into the teaching. See, there's teaching and preaching because one of the reasons why I like to be close to you, I like to see the whites of your eyes. I see your eyelids when they're closed too. But I like to see the whites of your eyes, okay? Because there's something about a family. There's something about a covenant. It's something about when we get together inside the words. And folks, there's nothing like small groups. I'm telling you. Be for one. There's nothing like small groups. Go to the Russian Landing. Come here to the Wednesday night. And these are just the two beginning ones. There's more coming. More coming. Okay. Now, what are you going to do with the covenant? We understand now what happened back yesterday here in Genesis chapter 9. We just covered the whole chapter. You can read it for yourself during the service, anytime you get ready, or you can read it later. But what I want you to do is to pick up something that's going to be very important to you. I want you to see the sign, and I want you to see the covenant. So guys, we're just moving away, Larry. We're going to start with a covenant, okay? We're going to be looking in. I'm going to give you seven covenants. Seven covenants that God gave for you. Because you see, we got to get you off of the ark of safety, out into the world where there's grapes and bananas and real needs. Into your household and understand that when I write a check and I struggle, or when I need a job and I struggle, or when I'm ill and I struggle, we got to know that God really significantly cares about this and cares about you on the journey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you from paradise and I'm going to carry you back to paradise. It's kind of interesting that Brother Eddie sang about paradise this morning. Maybe that's the reason why God's Spirit was just saying, let's think about paradise. So go with me just for a moment in this place called covenant. You know what a covenant is? What's a covenant? An agreement? A treaty? A compact? A promise? One of the definitions of covenant is promises of God. And so therefore, now we're going to look at seven promises of God. We're going to look at seven covenants this morning. The promises of God is revealed. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to talk about the Edenic. Now, some of these names I'm struggling with, so y'all just bear with me. Edenic. Okay, does that sound like a good name? E-D-E-N-I-C. Edenic covenant. Now, inside of this Edenic covenant, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We're carrying you back to the Garden of Eden. And inside the Garden of Eden, folks, I got disappointed about heaven for the first time in my life. You got struggles, I got struggles, okay? In Genesis, back in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, they had every tree, all the vegetables they wanted. In paradise, they were vegetarian. Now, there were no eating of the animals. Here it is. No fried chicken. I don't know if Baptist preachers can go to heaven now. No fried chicken. You know, they didn't start frying chicken until they came off the ark. So therefore in paradise, they were eating, and that's the reason why the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. The tooth of the tiger. No longer furious. The claw of the bear is no longer ravenous. Because in paradise, they were herbivorous. How about that for a name? They were herbivorous. Now, herbivorous means this, that they ate of the vegetation, the trees, and all the fruit. And God said, I give this to you to eat. Now, when you think about the sign of that first covenant, it goes all the way back. And he says in Genesis chapter 2 and 15, he says, if you keep my covenant, you will live. If you don't keep my covenant, you're going to do what? You're going to die. And that's where he said, eat of all the trees, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. First covenant, Edenic covenant. Paradise, greatest place, sign of the covenant, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. Eat everything else and you'll live. You with me now? We're starting now in paradise. Where are we going? We're getting kicked out of paradise. Now, why are we going to get kicked out of paradise? Because Adam and Eve sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, then God kicked them out. Was God through with them? No, we've got the covenant of Eden, but now we got to have the covenant of Adam. And so what happened in Adam was that he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did they do? They did what? They ate. Three curses occurred. What were those curses? The first curse was to the serpent, the most beautiful serpent. I've never seen a good-looking snake. But that serpent, whatever he looked like in the Garden of Eden, was beautiful. First curse, crawl on the belly. Second curse, woman's increased pain in childbirth and the man to rule over the woman. Third curse, the ground. God says, Adam, because you did, cursed is the ground for your sake, and by the sweat of the brow, you'll bring forth its food. So in the second covenant that God made with Adam and Eve, we see what's happening now. But there's a verse I want you to see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. You kind of need to look that one up with me, okay? This is the first promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I'm going to pick it up with verse 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. In verse 15, and I will put enmity. That word enmity means hatred. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I'm not trying to go biological on you, okay? But the woman doesn't have the seed. But here, the woman has the seed. And what is that? That is a picture of the virgin birth. And so the sign of the Adam covenant is this. The virgin birth. Now, what's happening right there? I hope you see this. One, we were kicked out of heaven because of sin. Paradise now is gone. But now, all of a sudden, is there hope for us? We go to Adam, and in the picture of Adam, all of a sudden, we find now there's a promise, and this promise is of the coming of the Lord Jesus. By the way, when you're reading the Bible, if you don't see Jesus, you missed it. Because the Bible is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so therefore in Genesis chapter 3, we see this covenant. We see the sign of the covenant. Now what happened right after that? We go on over into our story with Noah. And y'all remember Noah? We've been talking about him. And all of a sudden the Noahic covenant is this. There's four parts to this covenant. Now what do you mean? Four parts to the covenant with Noah. Well, this is what happened. God said to Noah, after he made this promise with the rainbow, he says, the seasons, they'll always be. Okay, you'll always have the same. Plant the seed in harvest, daylight and darkness, all the way. So the first aspect is the season. The second aspect is going to be found in chapter 9 and verse 3. And let's go over there because you need to read in chapter 9 and verse 3 because I'll tell you there's something special in there. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. The scripture says, I'm going to back up to verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. You get that? Every living thing shall be food for you. That's where the fried chicken comes from, okay? I did not want you to miss that. So now you got fried chicken and turnip greens. Man, and you throw some cornbread in there and we'll quit right here, okay? I mean, it's getting good. It's getting good. And that's one of the inside of the covenant that we see right here that God says, now you've got animals for food. That's the reason I like deer hunting, okay? I tell you what, there's nothing like backstrap with bacon wrapped around it. And if you'll put it in a bell, in a jalapeno pepper, and you stuff some cheese inside of that, and you wrap that in bacon, and you cook that on the grill, ooh, daddy, we're going to have a good time. Okay? I'm just telling you, folks, there's some stuff in here. And that all came from that verse right there. I like God's Word. The third thing, though, we see in chapter 9 and verse 6 is something that you don't hear much about. Whosoever shall shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. What is that? That's capital punishment. You know, a lot of times people try to do away with capital punishment. But if you go back to the very beginning of God's Word and the covenant that He established with the rainbow and all these things that go along with, God says this is how that man needs to value man. If you take the value of man away, then you take the value of civilization away and they lose sight of the image of God. And man is in the image of God, so let man alone. You kill him, you're going to die. Capital punishment. Well, some of the states' rights and some of the courts might try to take it away, but you'd have to tear it out of Genesis chapter, this chapter right here, Genesis chapter 9. So you know what? I'm going to stand by the Word. So if you ask me, where do you fall in line with this? I fall in line right here. God says, you're valuable. And I am going to put value on your life because you are created in the image of God. That's how valuable you are. The fourth thing that he says in that covenant right there, along with capital punishment, he turns around and he says in verse 11, he says, I'll never destroy the world by water. That's where he puts the rainbow in. Okay? So what's happening right here, the first few drops of water, you can see all these things in the Noetic covenant. I got to practice on that, David. It's tough. I've been saying it, but I got to practice on it. And Noetic covenant. Okay? You with me now? Okay, now what's happened? Number one, we started with paradise. Number two, that's Eden. Number two, we got kicked out of paradise. And that's because of Adam. Number three, we come along and Noah finds grace in the sight of the Lord. So Noah finds grace. So all of a sudden, God says, okay, guys, I'll feed you, I'll protect you, I'll give you civilization, and I'll help you along in your journey. But there's something missing right here. How do you experience Christ in what we've said? How do you know God? How do you experience Christ? So what God does, He comes along and He says, this is what I'll do. I'll choose Abraham. We'll call him Abraham. I'll choose Abraham. And we will call this the Abrahamic covenant. I'll choose Abraham. And so in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, when He says, I'll choose Abraham for his looks, no. For his wealth, no. It's because God's sovereignty said, all the world is worshiping idols and things like this, but I'm going to choose Abraham so his family will share to the world about Jesus, about the love of God, and experience the grace of God. So God created, He chose this family out of all the nations, and He says, now, out of you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And He went on and said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So He gave to us Abraham so that he would take the message of God through his lineage and tell us how to go to paradise. And He gave a sign to seal the covenant. And that was the sign of circumcision. And so that sign was given to Abraham and to all the Israelites. And so therefore that sign came in Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. Now, okay, now I've got a person who's going to reveal to me how to go to paradise. Do you know how to go to paradise? How to get there? Well, hang on a minute. What do you got to do between the start to the finish? You've got to do what? You got to live, don't you? And if you got to live going from start to finish now, how are you going to do that? So God comes along and He says to us, I will give you the Mosaic covenant, the agreement, the promise of God. Now inside of the Mosaic covenant, there's three things I want you to learn. One is moral law. That's the Ten Commandments. Number two, I want you to know civil law. And number three, I want you to know ceremonial law. Three things. What? Moral law, how to live in community. Civil law, how to establish government. Ceremonial law, how to worship. Now, so what that's telling us is God's trying to get us from paradise. We got out of paradise. Now we need to get back in. But in the meantime, we got to live with each other. And if you want to know all the laws of the land, they all really boil down to the Mosaic Covenant. So God tells us now, this is how we can live together. But let me give you a sign. What is the sign for that covenant? What's the symbol for that covenant? And that is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. Okay, now this is kind of, is this a little bit hard? Y'all help me out. Okay, Flora says it's a little hard. I listen to my wife, okay? And it's a little bit different style of message this morning. So can I back up and say, where are we? Just for a moment. We were in paradise. We got kicked out of paradise. We experience the grace of God. We need to live together. And now we got to live according so that we can, so Michael and I don't kill each other. Okay. So God gave us the Ten Commandments. He said, thou shalt not kill thy brother. Okay. Okay, so we got that one down. So we can live in civilization together. But then he carries us one step further. He gives us the Davidic covenant, and that's David. And out of David would come forth the lineage of Jesus Christ. Okay, our hope in David, we see hope coming. It's coming. It's on the way. And so he gave us, out of David, what he did, he gave us the hope that David is a man after God's own heart. If you'll model his life, most of it, you'll be right with God. So that tells us that you can do it. David did it, and you can do it. Here's the command. Here's, we'll know what and how to believe and how to live. And David says, I live that way. By the way, was David a good man? Some say he's good. Some say he's not. But I can tell you what, he was a man after God's own heart. And if you read throughout the New Old Testament, he'll say this, like my servant David, like my servant David, like my servant David. So what that tells us is this, God's promises, God's covenants have been given to each of us so that we can live the life. And when we mess up, we can get forgiveness. But the focus here is not on the messing up. The focus here is on the living right. And you can do it in the best of times and the worst of times. So the last thing I want you to see is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, and this is the new covenant. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Which is shed for many, the new covenant. Okay? Now the new covenant is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the reason why when we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we say, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Take, drink, this is my blood that was poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me, for this is the new covenant, because it was in the blood of Jesus Christ that all of our sins are what? Forgiven. They're all forgiven. Now, with our sins forgiven, Bo, and that puts us back in a proper relationship with God, what does that prepare us for? Paradise. That's it. We're back now to paradise. So if I were just to try to sum it up, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, the Scripture says, a new covenant he had made for the first. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. In other words, the old covenant is vanishing away. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, in light of the new covenant, Jesus Christ. What we could not do with the old covenant, and that's keep it, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ in the new covenant, we can experience it. So here's our summary, and we're going home. Isn't that the best words in a sermon? The final finally. The final finally is this. You ready for me? Here we go. I'm going to take you with the new covenant. Eden equals paradise. Okay? That's where we started. The Adamic Adam, paradise lost. Noah equals grace. The scripture says, for Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham and the Abrahamic plan was this. I'm going to give you a person, and he's going to reveal my grace and truth to you, and from him all the worlds will be blessed. Moses, the Mosaic covenant, talked about building community. How do we live together? And he gave us that covenant. David comes along and gives us lineage. It would be out of the lineage of David that Jesus would be born there in the city of Bethlehem by the Virgin Mary and live a sinless life. And David modeled that life for us, a man after God's own heart. So David brought the lineage, and then Jesus is the new covenant. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins and puts us back in a right relationship with God. Now we're ready to go home to paradise. Is that picture, does that make sense now? Can you see that? Is that okay? Patrick, does that kind of make a little sense for us right there, buddy? Good. Because that's what I want you to capture. That's what I want you to see. How much God really loves you. So when the snow is gone and the rainbow is in the sky, know that God's looking down and we're looking up, and God says, I remember. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come recognizing of the covenant that you've given to us. And Father, with these covenants, we realize that we've got a purpose, we've got a plan, that we're not just by chance going through this life. But God, you love us so much that you established these covenants for us, these promises for us. And we know God can't lie. So Father, I don't know where each and every one is in their journey, but I pray, Lord, please help them prepare for paradise. Help them prepare for heaven. And Father, if they're struggling just living the life, help them remember David did it too, but David made it. And if they need to know how to live, help them remember Moses, that Moses helped us. He gave us some guidelines. Lord, you put it all together. You gave the plan. Now, Lord, help us to live and give you praise and honor, and in all things give glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd just like to encourage you to become part of the community of faith. The community of faith is this, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It began back in Genesis, and it concludes in the Revelation, and it's on all points in between. Do you know Him? Are you prepared for paradise? Others may have special needs. Prayer altars are open. God loves you. God sent His covenant, and He's keeping it for you. So if you need to make a decision today, I'd encourage you to come. If you want to accept Christ, come stand with me and say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus. I want to be a part of the covenant of faith. You want to be a part of this church? Let us know so we can celebrate with you. What's your heart's desire this morning? Let's stand together and sing.